seated in the front.
Present everywhere in a spiritual form. According to the Mayavada philosophy,
supreme truth, the all-pervasive, does not need a transcendental form. The my body supposed that since its form is distributed everywhere, it has no form. This is untrue. The Lord keeps his transcendental form at the same time he extends everywhere in every nook and corner of the material creation. Translation, O Lord, you need no support, and although you have no material body, you do not need cooperation from us. Since you are the cause of cosmic manifestation, you supply us material ingredients without being transformed. You create, maintain, and annihilate this cosmic manifestation by yourself. Nevertheless, although you appear engaged in material activity, you are transcendental to all material qualities. Consequently, these transcendental activities of yours are extremely difficult to understand. So this is a philosophical statement about cause and effect. And how the Supreme Lord is difficult to understand because for him, cause and effect do not operate in the normal way that we understand causes and effects. So we have cause and effect in terms of matter, which is made out of prakriti in different forms, such as clay. So out of clay we make a pot. Well, that's the material cause. But we also know that clay can stand forever, it doesn't necessarily become a pot on its own. So we need a pot maker, someone who makes a pot. So that's another cause. So we have two causes, the person and the clay, and that produces a pot. If we have a person that doesn't have any clay, he cannot make a pot. So we have two things, two separate things. The potter isn't the clay, so we have two different things, clay and a potter. And then we have a third thing, the result, which is the pot. Out of the two things. That's normal cause and effect that we see in the world. Things produce other things. Of course, probably we can look for things in the material world which seem to contradict this also. Things simply arise by themselves sometimes, it seems. Like it says, what, scorpions arise from out of the rice or something like this. How does it happen? Nobody produces or whatever like this. Of course, if we investigate closely, we see there is a cause also. Usually we have a creator and then he creates something out of some material elements. So, if we have a material world, so according to the scriptures, it is made out of prakriti. That's the matter. Now, there are various theories. Some atheists, of course, say this prakriti does everything by itself. Energy, Big Bang, everything just happens. That's material science. It's also Charvaka Muni's philosophy. You can go a step further. The Samkhya philosophy also was like that, but they introduced the jiva also. So the combination of jiva and prakriti produces everything. But basically, prakriti does everything, and jiva sits there also as an accompanying factor. So it's almost the same as pure atheism. That's Samkhya philosophy. Then, if we want to bring into another cause, that is Supreme Lord, besides the jiva and prakriti, then we have a Vaishnava philosophy. But there is a problem in doing so. Because if we have a Supreme Lord, what is his relationship with the prakriti? It is independent of the Supreme Lord. If so, then how can he be Supreme Lord? Now, if he produces the prakriti, then he must have matter inside himself. Therefore, he's imperfect because he's got achit within himself. So the faults of prakriti are equally applicable to its cause. Now, just like the clay, if the clay is not proper, the pot will also not be proper. If it is sandy, then the clay pot will have cracks in it or whatever. So any, or if the pot is not symmetrically made and it tips over, then we say the potter is at fault. So any fault in the pot can be attributed either to the clay or to the potter. So, if in the case of the potter doesn't create the clay. But when we talk about Supreme Lord, that he must be the creator of everything. He must create the clay, plus he must also do the creation. But if he is the creator of the clay, then whatever fault is in the clay is in him, whatever is the property is in him. So we obviously property as faults in terms of spiritual life, because it is achit, and it produces misery and so many things in the material world. So therefore, we have to blame the Supreme Lord for that. He's got achit, unconsciousness, dull matter, suffering, karma, everything is in the Lord. If he is the actual creator of property, he must have the, in other words, the effects must somehow be related to the cause. The cause must also have something of the effect. So that is the problem, in philosophically speaking. If we accept Shastra, then we don't worry about these things. But if one is intelligent, then one will start thinking about this, and how is it possible that, you know, the Lord can produce property, and then he has the faults attributed to him, etc., like this. So that's one of the problems that arise, philosophically speaking. To get rid of that problem, then we have various explanations. The simple, well, that's not the simplest one, but one way of getting rid of it is to say that it's all illusory, and there is no clay. There is no material world at all. So whatever is created only is an illusion of a creation. So material world is not there. Also, we don't have to worry about any fault. There's nothing else yet also. That is the Mahayana philosophy. There is no material world. So we don't have to explain how the faults of the material world are attributed to the Supreme Lord, because it doesn't exist. There's a problem with that, of course, because then how did the illusion arise? So then the illusion has to be attributed to the Supreme Lord also. So then we come back to blaming the Supreme Lord for having some fault again, of illusion, avidya. Anyway, that's one explanation. And then we have the Vaishnavas explain this in various ways. How does this material world relate to the Supreme Lord? How does the jiva, who also suffers, relate to the Supreme Lord, who's full of bliss, etc.? How do we, if he's the cause of everything, then everything is blamed on the Supreme Lord ultimately? It's more complicated by the fact that the Upanishads especially say everything is one. Supreme Lord is everything. So therefore he must be matter, he must be jiva also, somehow or other. And if so, then he's got all the faults. Jiva and matter within himself. Or we can take the opposite, because Shastra also says they're different. It enumerates jiva as different from the Lord and Prakriti as different from the Lord. We can take the opposite. Okay, they're not related at all. The Lord controls them, but he doesn't. They're not part of him. So one can take that stance. That's exactly what Madhvacharya does. He says these are different things from the Lord, controlled by the Lord. But they're not within him. They're not part of him. So that way we don't have to say the faults of Prakriti and Jiva are the faults of the Lord. And he controls them. The other is to somehow try to accommodate everything within the Supreme Lord, the oneness idea. But it's very difficult to do, because you've got all these things in the faults in the particles. Anyway, this is Ramanuja's philosophy. Vishishta Dvaita, qualified oneness. So, the Prakriti and the Jiva are one, are part of the Supreme Lord, like parts of the body. And we can say the Supreme Lord is like the Paramatma within there, within the body. But it's all one, in that sense it's one. Of course, we also know that the Paramatma is different from the body, etc. in this sense. So at the same time, the two things function together as one unit, body and soul. So in that sense, there's oneness. So So when Scripture says everything is Brahman, everything is the Lord, then in that sense, because it's like the body and the soul together. Nevertheless, there is some distinction there. So that's why it's called Vishishta Dvaita, qualified oneness. Another example in the material world is quality, which is another meaning of Vishishta. So, object has a quality, book has a shape, has pages, has color, etc. What is the relationship of the quality to the object? Is the quality the object? No, not really. Brown is not the object. Shape is not the object, actually. The other things have the same shape or whatever. But all it looks like maybe the sum of all the qualities is the object? No. We also said the object has a substance in itself, apart from the qualities. But we cannot separate the two. So the quality and the object are intimately related with each other. So, Prakriti and Jiva are like the quality. And the Supreme Lord is the object. One with the object. So like that, the book is like the Supreme Lord, and the Prakriti is like the color of the book or whatever like that. It's one with it, and the same thing, slightly different. So that's how the oneness and difference is explained. Of course, that can be attacked also. From a logical point of view, by saying that if they're so intimately related, then still the faults of one get stuck on the other. So the faults of Prakriti get stuck on the Supreme Lord again. That is the fault. That's why Madhva keeps them so far apart, to keep the faults of Prakriti separate. Anyway, that's another explanation. It's too close together. If the oneness is there, then the faults of the finger affect the whole body. Yeah. You have one finger instead of five fingers, then you have a problem, and it affects the whole body. If your arm gets cut off, then it affects the whole body. So then the Supreme Lord, I think it's too intimately related, the cause and effect. Anyway, that's his philosophy. Both can have Shastric support, of course. Oneness is there, and the scriptures, duality is also there, and we can just emphasize one or the other. That's the system. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is oneness and difference. We emphasize both. But to do so, it is contrary. Because if we say it is one, everything is one, how can we say it's different at the same time? Of course, Ramanuja does that to some extent. He says oneness with a little difference, a little slight difference kind of thing. But actually, to have oneness and difference simultaneously, it looks a little bit contrary. Just as to have a brown book is one thing, to have a white book would be a different object. To have one object to be a brown book and a white book simultaneously looks a little strange. It can't be both at once, it can be one or the other. It can't be two different things simultaneously. If an object is black, it cannot be white. If it's white, it cannot be black. It cannot be black and white simultaneously. So that's a little bit of a contrary. Of course, in quantum physics, we do have a thing, the wave-particle duality. What is it, electrons or atoms or whatever. Simultaneously, they are wave and particle, two contrary things. If it's a wave, it cannot be a particle. If it's a particle, it cannot be a wave. You have small particles, behave as both. Strangely enough. So there we have a little bit of a chintya. Oneness and difference type of thing, contrary things existing. So, that achintya concept is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains it. The achintya shakti of the Lord allows these oneness and difference to exist simultaneously in objects in the Supreme Lord. Yeah. So, but we say, yes, it is one and it is different. Material world is one with the Supreme Lord and different. It is one, in the sense that he has Shaktis, and the Shaktis are one with him, non-different from him. So the Prakriti is the Achit Shakti of the Lord, and it is belonging to the Lord, possessed by the Lord, one with the Lord, and therefore matter is one with the Lord. That we also said, it is different. The Shakti is not the same as the Lord. It is also different from him. So it is, that's a simultaneously one and difference that we have. So therefore, we can say that Prakriti and Jiva are part of the Supreme Lord, and also they are different from the Supreme Lord. So, by the difference, then we cannot attribute the faults of Jiva or the faults of matter to the Supreme Lord, because there is a difference between the Shakti and the products of the Shakti and the Supreme Lord himself, who is the origin of it. So there's a difference there. So we can maintain the integrity of the Supreme Lord. So, which it gets attacked in Ramanuja's philosophy or something. At the same time, the extremes of complete difference is avoided. In other words, Lord isn't one thing, matter is different, Prakriti is different. Only he controls on that. And that is the only relationship. Yeah? So it's quite dualistic. Whereas scripture says there is oneness. So, in the Chintapeda Veda philosophy, then we can accept the difference and the oneness simultaneously, and not contradict scripture at all, and at the same time keep the Lord's independence and purity. So, here in this verse, the devotees are talking about this, that the Lord supplies all the ingredients of the material creation, somehow he makes everything happen, but he's not affected by it at all. Whatever is in Prakriti is not in the Lord. That is, Prakriti is Achit and is full of the gunas, material gunas, and gives rise to transformations like lamentation and suffering, etc. It's not in the Supreme Lord. But yet, he is the creator of it, and it comes from him. It's within him, and it comes from him. Yet, he's not affected by it at all. So we can explain that in terms of this oneness difference concept. Because of the difference, the Lord's not affected. Because of the oneness, yes, it comes from him, it's in him, it is part of him. And because of that, therefore, very precisely, he can create the material world, because it's part of him. Simultaneously, not affected by it at all, not contaminated by it at all, because he is completely separate. So, the Lord does activity. Normally, activity gives rise to karma and consequently suffering. So, we think the Lord shouldn't have any activity. The Lord does have activity. We'll say the Lord shouldn't have a form because forms in the material world cause a karma, etc., etc. The Lord also has a form. So, the Lord has activities, the Lord has a form, but not like the material activities or the material form. So that is difficult for everyone to understand, and that's what the devotees are saying. It's very difficult for us to understand how you can do all of this. You do activity, you have your own form, and still, you're not contaminated by anything in the material world. Everyone else has activity, and they have forms. They're all subject to karma, and you look like you're the same as everyone else, but completely different. So, that form of the Lord previously was explained. It's very difficult for the devotees to actually understand that Supreme Lord at all. So, that is true. It's not available for everyone's vision. He cannot be seen with material eyes at all. He cannot be understood with material mind. All we can do is infer the presence of the Supreme Lord by the effect, that is, everything in the material world. That's all we can Yeah. Some people won't infer that. They'll infer some scientific laws. Modern science does. Others will say, well, there must be some supreme cause on that. So, at a certain point, we have to go to Scripture. Those who accept Scripture will then use their inference plus the Scripture and come to a conclusion, yes, there's a supreme Lord, and he's related like this to the matter. Those who don't have faith in the Scripture will reject that, and then they won't come to a conclusion at all about the supreme Lord. They'll be atheistic. Or they'll speculate some other cause, whatever, some other philosophy. So, to really understand the Lord, we have to have the Scripture, and we have to accept that Scripture. Otherwise, it's very, very difficult to come to the correct conclusion. So that is why we need knowledge in order to progress spiritually. We can't just speculate on our own, make our own knowledge. We need eternal, factual knowledge that is in the Scripture. To come to the stage of accepting Scripture, that is getting faith, that is a matter of an individual's own evolution, so to speak. Some people have faith, some people don't have faith. So, those who are fortunate have the faith, and once they have the faith, then they get the proper information. Once they get the proper information, then they can get the advice on what to do in the situation. So Scripture gives us knowledge of facts. What is property? What is jiva? What is Supreme Lord? And then, from our position in the material world, it tells us what our goal is. Purushartha. What is the human goal? What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to achieve in life? And then it provides a method to do that. How to get to that goal. So without defining the truth, first of all, we cannot define a goal or a method. If we don't know who we are, if we don't know Supreme Lord exists, if we don't know what material energy is, we can't define any goal. So that is why most people don't think too much, and all they can do is define a goal within matter. I have this material goal or that material goal, that's as far as they can go.
Do they know anything else?
So if you want a higher goal, then we have to have more knowledge. So the Scripture gives us that knowledge of who's who and how they relate to each other. Then we can get a goal, and then we can have a method to get to the goal. So all three things are important. So Scripture deals with all of these. That basic knowledge is called sambandhagyan. The goal is called prayojana, and the method to get to the goal is called abhijaya. It's a sadhana. So it's all based on the scriptural evidence. We can't go beyond that. So one who has the faith to start that, accept that as a scripture, and then go on, is a very fortunate person. The question will come, which scripture? Bible, Quran, this or that, whatever. What scripture are we going to accept? That again is fortune or misfortune, we would say. So those who are fortunate will have faith. They will also have intelligence to decide what is superior and what is inferior. Based on that, we will find that the Vedas have the most complete system because it contains all religions, actually, all concepts of religion in it. But unfortunately, we get a little confused because so many systems are also there within it. And so many concepts of God are also there in the Vedic literature. So to make things simpler, Bhagavatam has rejected all of the secondary goals and all the secondary worships, etc., and only indicated one object of worship and one goal, one method to get there. That's all. Made it very, very simple. That is the special quality of the Bhagavatam. So it is considered the conclusion of all the scriptures, because after writing everything, Veda Vyas finally wrote Bhagavatam. After writing the Brahmas, after writing the Mahabharata, compiling the Vedas, etc., writing the Brahma Sutras, the comment on the Upanishads, then finally Bhagavatam came out. So this is the conclusion. So, if we simply take the statements of Bhagavatam, we can get the truth, the Sambandhagyan, we can get the goal, and we can get the process to get there. So, the goal is prema, the process is bhakti, and the philosophy is, as explained here, a Chinchabeda philosophy. So, the knowledge we have, the goal we have, and the method we have. Very, very simple. So, if that's what we should get out of the Bhagavatam, these three things only. And if we get that, then we can practice nicely. Where? Oh, yeah, there are, in the material world, there will be various answers. Matayo vibhinna. It is the quality in the material world that will be many opinions about many things. And it is also said that the problem with logic is that if one is expert, one can defeat others and establish a conclusion. It must be like this, or this, or this. But someone who's more clever can then find fault in that argument and establish a new conclusion. He can defeat your arguments and make a new conclusion. And then later on, someone else can take that, and he's more clever, and he can defeat your arguments and make a new conclusion. This is what logic is. It's insubstantial, ultimately. Because at any point in time, someone can come up and make a new, find a fault in it, and make a new theory. So therefore, we have various philosophies based on this. So rather than do that, we should take scripture, and of course, the Sadarshan said, we are following scripture also, but yet, 5 out of 6 are wrong. So they use logic to a high degree and they distort the meaning of scripture. They say we're following scripture, but yet they don't take all of the scripture into account, they misinterpret it, and they come up with the wrong conclusions, like Samkhya or Nyayika or whatever. They say we follow the Vedas also, but they come up with the wrong conclusion. So Vedanta philosophy, that Vedanta Sutras actually is there to reject all of that. So it defeats all these other philosophies, even though they claim to be Vedic. It says it defeats them by showing faults in their arguments, misinterpretation of scripture, etc. Which means that if we correctly follow the rules of interpretation of scripture, then we'll come to one conclusion, which is what the Brahma Sutras does. Comes to one conclusion, Supreme Lord is there, process is bhakti. So therefore, finally, it looks like there's many opinions, and even the scriptures seem to say many contrary things. Finally, no, it is correlated into one conclusion. That is what the Brahma Sutra says. It makes one conclusion out of many contrary statements. And that's what Bhagavatam does.
But
it's
material world, Prakriti is found to be at fault. I mean, there are faults in it. But at the same time, Jiva has free will. And the moment that is recognized, then Prakriti ceases to have any faults in it. Because it is created to work around Jiva and to fulfill Jiva's desires.
Well, the faults of Prakriti, of course, are relative, but in comparison to what we think is would be perfect, which still has inherent faults in it. For instance, even if the Jiva's not there, Prakriti is atchit, no consciousness, has no sense of knowledge, etc. Whereas the spiritual world is full of knowledge. It does not have any experience of bliss in it itself. Prakriti can't experience anything. There's no sense of bliss in it. So these are negative aspects of Prakriti, jada. Can't do anything. It's inert, cannot do anything on its own. The jiva is a little better than that because the jiva is conscious, has a capacity for bliss, can be aware of things, can do activities. Prakriti can't do that, cannot initiate activities at all. So, but of course, jiva is ultimately dependent on the Supreme Lord. but it is a step higher than this property at least, which is quite, let's say, negative at least, constitution.
Can the logic be given that since Jiva is higher in consciousness and has free will, and that's why material world is created the way it is created with its faults for a specific purpose?
Oh yeah. Well, this, why does the world exist? The world exists because the jivas who do not want to recognize the Lord want to have enjoyment. So the only way they can do that without the Lord is to do it in relation to matter, independent of the Lord. So then the Lord creates the illusion that we're bodies and that we have these objects and they can give us happiness. That's a simple reason. With the provision that out of this, the jiva can eventually transcend his ignorance after much frustration. And with the help of course, scriptures, devotees, avatars, etc. And then he can remove his illusions, ignorance, and get out of the material world again. Well, as relatively speaking, it is perfect in the sense that it follows the will of the Lord and it operates according to the Lord's will. It is imperfect in the sense that it is not spiritual. It is dull matter without consciousness, etc.
Yeah.